1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Shiri Preston. Across the country, chaos and arrests as campus protests against the war in Gaza swell. That was a sound at Emory University in Atlanta. Columbia University setting today as the deadline to move a student encampment. So far, they are still there. Analysis continues to come in to the absolute immunity arguments at the U.S. Supreme Court Thursday. ABC's Terry Moran was there.
At the heart of this case, Donald Trump's unprecedented claim. His lawyer telling the justices that presidents can never face criminal prosecution for anything they do in office that can be linked to their official duties.
Without presidential immunity from criminal prosecution, there can be no presidency as we know it.
The sheer magnitude of that claim hung over the courtroom, several justices acknowledging the stakes.
This case has huge implications for the presidency, for the future of the presidency, for the future of the country.
Today, the former president's criminal hush money trial continues in New York. The National Enquirer publisher expected back on the stand. This is ABC News. Under arrest now in Nevada, a couple accused of keeping their child in a cage.
Misty and Jeffrey Scanlon are accused of child abuse and neglect. After their children went missing for a week, a truancy officer was sent to the home and heard a child screaming. When police responded and went inside, they say they found a large enclosure in the living room with metal bars and locked doors, like a jail cell, with an 11-year-old boy inside wearing only a diaper. Police say there was feces around the house, on the floors and walls, and trash all over, and locks on the children's bedrooms. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Some Ring doorbell owners will be taking part of a $5.6 million settlement. The FTC had accused Ring of violating customer privacy by sharing doorbell videos without permission. And there may be a big change coming on Southwest Airlines. It's known for flying without assigned seats. But after posting a first quarter loss, the CEO of Southwest says it's opening the door to creating a first class section. Shiri Preston, ABC News.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin's flagship campus in Madison is slipping in the global and national rankings. The Wall Street Journal ranks it 79th. Internationally, UW-Madison has fallen to as low as 102nd in one ranking. Authors of the UW's internal studies say the UW-Madison gets fewer federal research grants. People who need a few hundred bucks in a hurry can take out loans on smartphone apps, but consumer advocates warn of steep hidden costs. Lucia Constantine is with the Center for Responsible Lending.
They are trapping consumers in a cycle of borrowing that is similar to that of a payday loan.
A bipartisan bill to curb predatory lending in Wisconsin stalled in the last session of the state legislature. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers draft a left tackle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers picked Jordan Morgan, a left tackle out of Arizona, in the first round. Morgan says he's watched a lot of tape of former Packer David Bakhtiari over the years.
Really strong arms, really strong upper body, and he can really lock people up, which is where I get my game from. I like to just lock people up and stalemate. And, I mean, he's just a dog.
At the 25th pick, did the Packers ever consider taking offers to trade down GM Brian Gutekunst?
There was a couple things we were looking at to, you know, to make, you know, kind of looking at if it did it make sense to move. move backwards at the end of the day because Jordan was available. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make sure we secured the player.
Iowa defensive back Cooper DeJean was not selected. He'll still be available tonight in rounds 2 and 3. Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Pirates thanks to a two-run homer by Gary Sanchez. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, he's a veteran hitter, and he's given us a big lift doing that. I mean, it won the game for us.
NBA. The Bucks and the Pacers in Indy tonight for game 3 of their playoff series. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers this afternoon. Our high 59 tonight. It'll be cloudy with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, windy, warmer 76 with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon and night. A couple of those could be severe. Be weather aware tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Crude and Dom. Trump trial. More Packer talk. And your Friday grievances. Only on the Devil's Advocates radio show. You made it to the weekend.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, broadcasting from the capital city, Madison, Wisconsin. If you're just flying through or driving through, that's who you're listening to.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
The two guys talking about Madison.
That's it.
The state, the nation, drawn and, all together.
And the world.
It's like a big jigsaw puzzle that we put together here each and every morning.
That's what it's like. A few pieces missing here and there.
There's a lot of pieces missing.
Yeah, they've dropped on the floor.
Luckily, kicked to the side. It's only 2 hours, and we now have to pick up the rest of the pieces later on. Hey,
that's it.
Let's play that song, Picking Up the Pieces.
Oh, yeah. It's a good tune.
Yeah.
It's kind of cloudy out there this morning. I think we'll see some sunshine early and then the clouds take over. Maybe some rain along the way later today and tonight. Highs, well, we'll get to the weather roulette wheel in just a moment. But right now it's 43 degrees. Do we have the wheel all dialed up and ready to go?
Why don't we use the lottery ball machine?
Yeah,
we haven't used that for a while.
Really? You're going to just change over to the lottery machine now already?
I mean, they're both accurate. Yeah.
They're both, okay. Yeah. All right. Fine. If you think it's finally fixed, let's do the lottery ball temperature high.
It could be dangerous if it's not fixed.
Okay. First number. 5. Second number.
That's it.
8. Right. It's going to be 58 degrees today. Okay.
See, this is a picture I took on the way in.
Why did you take a picture while you were driving?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Where is that?
It's on the way in. University Avenue.
John encourages people to watch the social media stream while they're driving into work. Do you think that he isn't on his phone while driving?
Look at that.
That's right on University Avenue. Yeah I know. I know he's
See?
Yeah. Beautiful sky early.
Oh, wow.
For the sunrise. Yeah.
Yeah, reflecting out the windows of the building. Yeah. It's just fantastic. Just what a palette.
That. Yes.
For those listening who obviously cannot see us through a radio, John is holding up his large foldable phone to show us a picture of the sunset he took yesterday.
Yes, well, here it is, right?
Was it sunset or sunrise?
Sunrise.
It's sunrise. Okay.
It's on the way in.
This morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a beautiful sunrise this morning. Yeah. Beautiful colors. Should be nice. And then rain tonight, rain tomorrow, rain Sunday, rain. That's it. So enjoy the weather today while we've got some nice conditions.
Too bad.
Okay. Yeah, what do you mean? We need the rain. We still are technically in a drought.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah, we still need some
fire
rain.
Danger out there, is that it?
There is some fire danger, I'm sure. Yeah. You know what? Smokey the Bear knows, but... Yeah. He's not available at the moment.
No, he isn't around right now.
Yeah. Yep. So, should we get to the National Day calendar early?
I can't wait.
Yeah, because we've got some Stephanie Miller tickets to give away. We've got two pair to give away today. So we stand by because those are hot tickets. She's going to be at the Barrymore Theater coming up on May 11th, I believe. Yes, Saturday, May 11th at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we've got it coming up early this morning and then later.
Yeah, so stand by for
in
that.
In the shows.
Okay, it's time to check out the National Day Calendar, our favorite segment of the early morning.
I was going to say, what a build-up. My God. Yes, it's my favorite part.
Got a lot of joggers out there this morning. The garbage truck workers are also enjoying
along.
The view.
Yeah, they're waving.
They're waving at each other.
We're hanging on the back of the truck and you're running.
Which of these days does not belong?
Okay.
Is it Historic Landmark Day? How about Help a Horse Day? National Shoelace Day? Hairball Awareness Day? Pretzel Day? Kids and Pets Day? Audubon Day? Or Arbor Day? Which of those days does not belong in that list?
I think Help a Horse Day is not on that list.
Well, you are wrong, because
what?
That is Help a Horse Day today. Yep. Sam?
Did you say Shoelace Day?
I did.
It's not Shoelace Day.
It's not Shoelace Day. Why would there be a day for shoelaces? Nobody cares about shoelaces.
You know what? We do care about shoelaces.
Do we?
It's funny we brought that up.
Why?
Because I was at the store yesterday, and I was looking at just stuff, and I saw an end aisle thing about shoelaces, and I looked, and I'm looking at, well, what new technology do they have for shoelaces? Yep. For a while, you know, the kids, my kids, did not want to tie their shoes. They tied them once, and then they were tied loosely so they could slide their feet in and out of these damn things. And then they came up with shoelaces that you didn't have to tie anymore. They were the squiggly ones, I think. Right?
Okay,
right, the curlicue ones.
All right.
And then now they've got different ones that kind of hook from one side to the holes connected together with this rubbery elastic thing. And then you connect it that way. Now you don't have to get shoelaces at all. You just get these rubberized hooks that connect the two eyelets together. And that's it. Boom.
You know, I wish now that today was National Shoelace Day, because you just gave a great, you know, ode to shoelaces.
There's an ode to shoelaces.
John's a shoelace fan.
You are.
There should be a day. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a day for aglets. Do you know what an aglet is?
Is that what the shoelace goes into and out of?
Like on the end of a shoelace, it's like the little plastic bit that keeps it from unraveling.
Yeah. Okay.
You know the TV show Phineas and Ferb? It's like a kid's cartoon.
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, there's an entire episode of Phineas and Ferb dedicated to aglets.
Oh, cool.
That I watched when I was a kid.
Right.
That's the only reason I know what they are.
You know what they should have is an application that installs aglets.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have to, you know, it breaks, your shoelace breaks, but
right,
then
a
you
way
just kind of
replace them.
And then you just put the, you put the aglet on the end of the new ending that, you know, was splintered, and it just makes it a lot easier. They should have something like
that. They should.
Maybe they do. Let's check the internet.
We should get on that.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe.
John and Gordy product development division.
Get the research team working on that right away.
Research.
Okay. It's National Historic Markers Day. You know, historic markers are all across the nation. They provide a glimpse into the past and preserve history for future generations. We've got them all over the city. Here,
we do.
Right?
We have them all over the state.
Yeah, everywhere. On the last Friday in April of each year, National Historic Marker Day invites volunteers and communities to come together to maintain their markers. Get on your marks.
God.
Unfortunately, weather and time take their toll on these small monuments to history, and by working together, we not only ensure these markers tell the story to future generations, but we also take the opportunity to celebrate the history and the culture they preserve. So,
oh God.
You know, if you see a National Historic Marker or a local historic marker, maybe it's got some leaves on it. Maybe it needs some, you know.
Dust it off.
Polish it up a little
polish
bit.
Polish it.
Why not?
And then get arrested for defacing a historic marker.
Right. That's it. There are more than 157,000 historic markers just in the U.S.
That's
a lot.
That's too many.
It's a lot
now
to take care of. So, you know, help out a little bit, okay? If you can see a historical marker that needs help, do something about it. That's it for the historical marker part of the
show.
You're
out there working for them, aren't you?
I am. I'm promoting it. It's also National Help a Horse Day.
Your wife used to ride horses.
She
do quarter horse shows.
Yeah. What happened to that? She was all into horses.
Well, she was, sure, but then you kind of get out of it, you know?
Mm. Okay.
You compete, you win.
Yeah.
You do really well.
Well.
Yeah, she was heavily into horses.
Yeah.
Horse girl.
I remember that. Well, National Help a Horse Day today encourages horse lovers and advocates to join forces and protect abused and neglected horses. The day raises awareness of the need of horse sanctuaries and rescues.
Hmm. A horse is a horse.
Yes.
Of course. Of course.
Mr. Ed.
Here it is.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a horse, of course. That is, of course, unless the horse is a famous Mr. Ed.
Go right to the source and ask the horse.
He'll give you the answer that you endorse. He's always on his steady course. Talk to Mr. Ed. People yakety yak the street and waste your time a day.
Yeah. Wilbur. Well, he's got something to say.
Used to do a Mr. Ed impression.
Wait, wait.
I did.
Keep the music back up,
because
we're getting right to the end. Here we go. Here comes Mr. Ed.
Well, listen to this. Listen.
Here we go.
I am Mr. Ed.
Great show.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wilbur.
With over 200 breeds of horses, these spirited animals give humans much to love.
I tell you what, you know, just watching Mr. Ed is surreal.
Yeah, it is.
If you're on anything that makes you high.
It's a great show. Yeah.
You know, he moves while he's talking. The horse moves while he's talking, and he shifts his head and neck to and fro with the actual words he's saying. I don't know how they even coordinated all that. It was like magic.
They gave him peanut butter to make his mouth move.
Yeah, the lips move, but
his
body moved too.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how they did that. What crazy.
And one episode, he's driving a mail truck.
Yes.
And the horse is driving a truck.
That's historical. That episode is historical.
It's great. Oh, boy.
John, you mentioned that Anne... I forgot what you said. She did something with
quarter
horses. Quarter horse shows. Mm-hmm. Catherine texted in, what is a quarter horse?
Well, it's a kind of horse. I can't really describe what it is necessarily. You know, it's not an Arabian horse. It's a quarter horse.
We have to get Anne on the show to talk about quarter horse shows.
Why don't you call her up now?
Yeah, that
her.
Would help.
Wake her up.
Yeah.
National Kids and Pets Day today. Let's check that out. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. National Kids and Pets Day raises awareness of the importance of picking the right pet for children at the right time.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, that's important. Your kids have always had pets, right?
They have.
Yeah.
Border collies.
Same with my kids when they were little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we always had a dog. The day also celebrates the bonds that children and pets share and a day to remember safety where our pets and children are concerned. Okay? All right. Be safe with your pets. Okay. Yep. Just a minute to go here. It's also Audubon Day. You know, we were talking about Fat Bird Week. So a salute to that. And it's Arbor Day today. So
plant a tree.
Plant a tree and salute it and take a picture.
Salute a tree. What?
I don't know. It's good to plant trees.
Good idea.
Take a picture. I don't know.
I can't wait to drive home and see all the people saluting their trees.
Well... It's just a thought. How else are you going to honor it?
A good thought.
How else are you going to honor your tree?
Exactly.
Put a yellow ribbon around it? I don't know. That's
finally, somebody brought it up, and you did.
Yeah.
Salute a tree today.
Okay. We're just getting started on a Friday morning. Rocker will join us a little bit later on today. Also, Stephanie Miller tickets. Got a pair of tickets coming up.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Switching to solar power can be a bright idea for your wallet. Here are three reasons. First, you could save big money on your electric bills. Forbes magazine says an average of $1,500 a year, and over the life of your solar, it's $25,000 to $33,000. Number two, you can take advantage of tax credits to help it get paid for and installed. Now, lots of states like Wisconsin waive property and sales tax on solar, and the federal government recently passed a bunch of new tax benefits too. Those are your tax dollars at work, so let's put them to work for you. And number three, solar panels can boost your home's resale value. Now, if you don't get enough sunlight, it might not pencil out for you, but man, that chance to save $1,500 a year is definitely worth checking out. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy, saying take good care.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Come on over, baby, whole lot of shaking going on. Yes, I say come on over, baby, baby, you can't go wrong.
Mad Radio, WMDX. 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. It is Richter Scale Day today, thus the song,
yeah.
Whole Lot of Shaking.
It all ties in so neatly together.
It does. How did that happen?
National Richter Scale Day, yes. Celebrated on an April 26th each year, honors the birth of the Richter Scale inventor, Charles F. Richter. He was born on April 26th. 1900.
A modest fellow, indeed.
Richter was an American seismologist, okay, and a physicist, most famous as the inventor of the Richter magnitude scale, which quantifies the size of earthquakes. While working at the California Institute of Technology, the scale was first used back in 1935. After publishing the Richter scale, in 1935. It says it immediately became the standard measure of earthquake intensity, and since 1935, there have been other magnitude scales developed. Depending on the data available, different scales are used. However, none of them are as popular as the Richter scale. That's right at the top of the list.
It is. It is top of the list, isn't it?
There's a whole list of different kind of magnitude scales.
Yeah.
You know, how deep the earthquake is, how long it is, all these. But nothing tops the Richter scale.
Nothing tops the Richter scale.
There have been times where, a rival scale would be going up the list.
There were challenges.
There were challenges along the way. But the Richter scale is still at the top.
Yep.
Okay? There's no.
I
think they vote on it.
It won out.
All the scientists get together, once a year, comparing all the scales.
No, that's okay. Good to know.
Sam, what's going on in the history books? What happened on this day in history? What do you think? What do you got? Let's open the book.
Let's take a look here. Thank you for the book sound effects, John and Gordy.
You're welcome. Anything we can do to help you, Sam?
Oh,
that's what we're all about.
Yeah,
that's why we're here.
Yeah.
So a couple weeks ago.
Is that why we're here? Okay.
Yeah, you guys are the resident Foley artists.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln on Today in History. Well, 12 days after Lincoln was assassinated, his assassin died, John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah.
He'd been on the run from the law for almost 2 weeks. Union Army found him in a barn, and he wouldn't come out of the barn, so they lit it on fire.
Yep.
Wow.
I didn't know that, and they lit it on fire, and then they shot him while he was in this burning barn, and he died of his gunshot wound.
Yeah. he broke his ankle or broke his leg.
Yes, when he jumped from Lincoln's balcony onto the stage.
He had a difficult time running away.
Yeah,
but he did.
He jumped on the horse, and away he went. And then there was a doctor that attended to him. And the doctor's name?
I don't remember it. No, I know that he almost got the death penalty, but
he did. Yeah, the doctor assisted him and then was tried, but they let him go. But the doctor was Dr. Mudd, and that's where the slogan came. Your name is Mudd. Because he helped Lincoln, he helped John Wilkes Booth. That's where that phrase came from.
So is that like the name of a traitor or something?
What's that?
The name of a traitor or something you'd call that?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's a doctor's duty to help anybody who is injured.
Right.
That's true. But then he let him go.
That's the bad part.
Yeah.
And you know who the descendant of Dr. Mudd was?
No.
There was a very famous news anchor, Roger Mudd.
Roger Mudd.
He was related to Dr. Mudd. Yeah. Wow. No, not a lot of people remember Roger Mudd.
Not when I see another replay of Roger Mudd, I'll think of that.
CBS Evening News.
Just amazing. That's just fantastic. Of course, you know, then after Lincoln was killed, vampires ran amok.
That's right. Because that's where all the vampires came. What are you talking about?
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter is the movie to check out if you have any time at all and you really want an entertaining, really well-made movie.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine.
John, how did you come across this movie?
Well, you know,
it got a lot of publicity when it first came out.
It did, and because it was a well-done movie. Yeah. It's crazy. And I was surprised. I didn't get it. You know, I thought, wow, why would I watch this? On Saturdays, I usually sat in front of the television set with Brett, my youngest, Gen Zer, and we'd watch all the worst possible movies of the 60s and 70s that we could, because we have a fast-forward button now, and we could skip through the entire thing and get to the monsters right away.
Okay.
And my son was always amazed at how I was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we watched that movie, and it just turned out to be a great movie. Abraham Lincoln,
you didn't
Vampire
have to
Hunter.
Big thumbs up.
No, oh no, it's a good movie.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
And of course, like I say, you know, once he was killed, it was free for all, vampire free for all.
Okay,
good. And that was the follow up movie.
Oh boy,
what else happened on this day?
Got a couple more things. 1941, organ music was played at a baseball game for the first time.
Oh really?
Yeah, take me out to the ball game.
Okay, you want to sing a few bars for us? Or?
Take me out to the ball.
No, no, don't,
are you
going to
join in?
Don't
take
do this.
Me out to the
Wait.
Game.
Yeah.
Do we have?
No, I don't think we have the organ.
Do we have Harry Carey doing this thing?
No, we don't.
But
disappointing.
Yeah. So, does it say what venue the organ was played at?
It did. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
I believe it was a Cubs game.
I think it was too.
Yes.
Okay. Also, what happened on this day in history? There's a very famous studio. That opened up,
Studio
right?
54 opens up in 1977.
Yeah.
The height of the disco era.
There's another good movie.
Yeah.
Right?
It's called 54.
Yeah.
A few big stars were in it, unfortunately. I'm sure that they buried this in their bios. You know, disco was just a horrible, horrible time for music.
Most of it,
and
yeah.
dancing, mm-hmm. for that matter. Mm. I went
to
the discos
kind of
way back
dancing
then.
In a way.
Sam wondered if any of us had gone to the discos way back when. Good question.
Used to be a disco in the Dells.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the Dell
View. Of course,
view.
There has to be a disco in almost every town.
Right. That's they were popping up everywhere.
Flashing lights.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, disco was just killed major league by the Bee Gees.
Well,
they had some really great songs.
They did.
Disco songs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it became very commercial at that time. Before that, it was mostly funk bands, black groups,
right.
and they were incredibly good. Even though a little repetitious, obviously, you got to dance to it. But when the Bee Gees came in, it became very commercial. Then all of a sudden, the population decided to go to these clubs and destroyed it with all these heterosexual couples.
Yeah. Okay.
So, they were mostly gay clubs at the time.
Yes.
And I had gone to those. The person I was going out with was from Fort Lauderdale, moved up here.
Okay.
And she was used to the club scene. And she took us to a few funky bars.
Yeah. Mm.
And I felt a little out of place. Okay. But they were the best places to go for dance music, for disco type music, but very funky, very mellow. And you could just get onto the dance floor and just, you know, groove,
right.
as opposed to doing ballroom dancing. I'm sorry to get into this. I know you guys are sitting over here flailing.
I think it's fascinating what you're talking about.
No,
but we have something else to do right now. We have to give away Stephanie Miller tickets right now.
Okay.
608-879-8255. And Sam will be taking the phone calls here. Again, if you want to go to Stephanie Miller, it's Saturday, May 11th at the Barrymore Theater.
Sexy Liberal
Save the World Comedy Tour. It's going to be great. And we're going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
608-879-8255. We're coming back with a little bit more history.
Yeah. And Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Monday, the federal mandate that all dairy operators in Wisconsin must comply with goes into effect. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Again, remember, beginning Monday, all lactating dairy cows that are going to be transported across state lines will have to undergo testing looking for the highly pathogenic avian influenza virus. Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin state veterinarian, explains why they're just focusing in on those lactating dairy cows.
What we've been able to find out in the short period of time we've been dealing with this virus in cattle, it seems that the lactating animals are the highest risk for spread. So we're trying to concentrate on the area that will give us the most information and lessen the risk by requiring negative testing before those animals move state to state, because we know cattle do concentrate the virus in their mammary glands. That's where we're looking at gathering the most information, is from these lactating animals. It could change in the future based on things that we learn about this virus going forward.
Dr. Darlene Conkler, Wisconsin state veterinarian, commenting about the new mandate that goes into effect on Monday, requiring all lactating dairy cows that are going to be transported across state lines to have a verified test of being negative of the high path avian influenza virus. If you've got questions, she advises the best thing to do, contact your local veterinarian. All testing costs will be covered by the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service.
Fast growing, safe on seed, nutrient rich. Fuel up for a winning season with Paraline, the ultimate in-furrow starter fertilizer by CHS. This all-in-one liquid fertilizer combines advanced enzyme technology, a low-salt formulation, and patented chelate to develop strong roots faster and emerge ahead of the pack. Call your CHS agronomy representative to place your Paraline order today.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Yesterday in Chicago, no change on barrel or block cheese prices or AA butter. This morning, the Class 3 milk for May is up 7 at $18.25. June's up 8. $18.28. Currently, December corn's unchanged at $4.76. November soybeans are down 2 at $11.73. July new crop wheat also down 2 at $6.18 a bushel. Just a quick snapshot on what's happening with the markets on a Friday morning. Again, if you've got more questions about that new dairy mandate, go to MidwestFarmReport.com for more. I'm PM Yonke.
Cloudy and breezy with scattered showers this afternoon. Our high 59 tonight. It'll be cloudy with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow. Mostly cloudy, windy, warmer 76 with scattered thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon and night. A couple of those could be severe. Be weather aware tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 42.
When you're having computer problems, you need a company you trust to get things working again, quickly and affordably. Madison Computer Works has been doing that for business and residential customers for decades. Our computer care plans take away the hassle of being without your computer or needing to bring it in for repair. Starting at only $10 a month, our local and friendly techs provide remote help and can fix most problems in just minutes. Call 608-231-8000 and sign up today. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts, so we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Friday morning, Sandy Williams will be here for our regular conversation. We'll talk about the overlooked accomplishments of the Biden administration and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
This
portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Decaffeinated Caffeine, for people who like feeling nervous and wide awake, but hate running to the bathroom all the time.
Mad Radio WMDX, the John and Gordy Extravaganza, the family show, and it's our Mad Pad, right? Mad Radio.
That's what it's all about.
And you can always give us a jingle.
Yep.
On the phone, and also text us via the Civic Media app, and you can look for us all over social media as well. You can even watch us live in person as we do this program. We didn't really dress up for that.
Well, you didn't.
I know you worked hard on what you're wearing today.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Always dressed to the nines,
I know.
You know, for the camera. You know, it's just it's because I was in TV for so long. I just can't help it.
That's right. So. That's right. The bow tie doesn't work, though.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. I'll leave it at home next time. We want to send our congratulations out to Charles, who won the pair of tickets for Stephanie Miller, the sexy live liberal Save the World comedy tour coming to the to the Barrymore Theater, Saturday, May 11th. We will be there.
We will be there, yeah. In the lobby. Yep.
In the
cleaning
lobby.
Up.
Yes. Handing out popcorn.
That's right.
Yeah, doing all that stuff. And by the way, you get those tickets via email, okay? All you ticket winners out there, the email will come
correction.
To you. Yeah,
correction. To all the people who I've been telling all of this week that you pick them up at the will call window.
Yeah, it's
email. They will get emailed to you, actually.
Yes, you're taking care of it that way.
It's not spam. It's your actual tickets.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Good enough. And we'll have another pair of tickets to give away coming up a little bit later on.
I can't wait. It's big high point for us. You know, the sexy senior liberals here.
That's what we are
in the morning.
Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah.
If she can get away with saying, she's a sexy liberal, then we can do the same thing.
Yeah, well, she's always called herself that, I guess.
It's from what I hear. In Madison. We'll ask her about that.
Yeah, we're going to talk to her next week. And yes. she, what was I going to say? I forgot. Never mind.
Well, it's okay. It's all right.
Oh, she's bringing her whole crew here. You know, four or five people with her that are on the show. She follows us in the morning right here on WMDX here in Madison.
It's funny how she does it, too.
What?
Because, different markets have different celebrities.
Right.
You know, and depending on the market that she's playing, those celebrities, people who have been on her program before, appear along with her on stage.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they get a special guest from each city as well, so...
Maybe we can start up a relationship and get on stage with her.
You think so?
Wouldn't that be fantastic? I'd just love that.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can do our old stage act from our Vegas days.
Yeah.
You know, dust that off. We played in Vegas, Reno, back in the 70s and 80s. And
I think we can improve on that act.
You think so?
Yeah.
No more of the ventriloquist dummy part of the show.
No, I thought that was a strong part.
Well, that's where, I would sit on your lap and you would just operate. I played the dummy in that show, and that's what I'm doing here too.
That's why I like that.
Some things never change. Those were the days. Okay, what do we got here?
We got Johnny at the movies coming up.
That's right.
Right.
Right
now, we're gonna take another look. We're gonna play it a couple of times a week. So Civil War is the movie we're going to take a look at this time and rerun that as well. What do you think? Should we do that?
I think we should do that right now. What do you say? You think so?
All right.
Or is it time? All right. Here's Johnny at the movies talking about the Kirsten Dunst movie, Civil War.
And now, here's that master of the cinematic arts, Mr.
John Peterson.
The passion, the pathos, the honesty, the despair.
I'm back.
No, no. Never before have the torments of movie critics been so vividly portrayed.
When ticket or two, sir?
Oh, what the heck. Tickets for everyone. First off, director Alex Garland's version of Civil War has always been my dystopian vision of a mega government under Trump. Not surprising. It's a nerve-wracking hour and 49 minutes, mostly because you can't tell what side anybody's on.
Defense of War reporters, Garland chose to follow four unbiased journalists, played by Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Mora, a young actor, Keely Spaney, and Stephen McKinley Henderson, who are traveling from New York to D.C. to cover what promises to be the big story, a victory. But by this point, because of our authoritarian government, states like Texas and California have already seceded, and they form what they call the Western Forces. The president, played by Nick Offerman, thought it was a great idea to pit Americans against each other, you know, with guns. It didn't turn out well. One of the film's most unsettling scenes came from a gun-toting militia guy who just got done dumping a truck full of dead bodies into a pit. He asked our four journalists,
"What kind of American are you?"
Clearly representing a MAGA, right? At the midpoint of the movie, two sharpshooters were trying to take each other out in a field scattered with old Christmas decorations. One of the journalists asked,
"You don't know what side they're fighting for.
Someone's trying to kill us. We are trying to kill them."
Ambiguous, right? It was obvious to me that at some point, political reasons for the country's chaos were no longer relevant, just staying alive was. Civil War was terrifying in its violent randomness, never lets up. Especially the jarring soundtrack of bombs and gunfire hitting you from every side. A great theater moment. The vague areas of the plot I thought were meant to add tension, and it succeeded. Again, it was nerve-wracking. Civil War is a movie I recommend. I give it 9 stars out of 10 and a full box of popcorn. Just hope no one asks you this question leaving the theater.
What kind of American are you?
Right. Great movie.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
We all saw it together. Yeah, it was really good. Yeah. I gave it a big thumbs up. It was in focus. I could hear everything. The dialogue was good.
The focus is your...
I love to check the focus on these films. Yeah. Even nowadays, where it's all digital and everything, it's perfect.
And with Sam, Mr. Projectionist over there.
I know. He's a big focus guy.
He knows how important it is, too, I'm sure.
It's the first thing I do when I start the projectors up.
Yeah, check the focus.
How does it go out of focus? Yeah. What happens
with
there?
With a digital film, is it even possible to be out of focus?
No. It's not possible.
I've had it happen to me once, and that was when we accidentally corrupted a file. And we had to, reset the focus manually.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It even happens with digital? Laser?
Rarely, but yes. Okay. It can.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Do you know what movie you're going to be reviewing next? There's a bunch of things out there. I don't know, crop is, but yeah.
I think I'm going to look at Fallout.
Fallout?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an old, old game.
Okay.
And they made it into a series, and we're going to take a look at that. I believe it's on Prime, and we'll check that out.
Excellent.
It's another dystopian story.
There's a lot of those lately.
They're back.
it's all the rage.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, everything is going on in regards to the trial that,
the big red-orange guy.
What is it?
What are we trying to get?
Don Snorleone.
Don Snorleone.
That's what I'm going to call him.
Dozo the Clown.
Yeah, Dozo the Clown. At the same time, this devastating Supreme Court.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Disaster happened yesterday. And it just, I was just blown away. I couldn't believe what was being asked by adults. They call themselves Supreme Court justices. My head is exploding. Everybody's head exploded. It's just hard to explain. We will talk about it next hour.
Okay.
But it's just ridiculous. We're in real trouble. We are in real trouble as a nation.
Yeah. And the question on the table is whether the president has immunity. Basically, while he's in office.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And you would think that would be pretty straightforward.
Pretty easy to understand. And if you're a purist and you look at the Constitution, literally, there is no reference at all to expand that and give him exemptions, but they're going to come up with exemptions, the ability to get away with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So...
By the way, it's Dumpster Fire Friday.
It is Dumpster Fire
where
Friday.
Where we get a chance to clear out all of the old stories that don't make sense anymore. well, they didn't make sense back then either.
Yeah.
But right. That's why we didn't get to them. It's an old DeSantis story. Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Let's get to the dumpster here. Let's light
the dumpster
it up.
Is on fire. Up. Wait a second. Jake has something to say.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire inside a train wreck.
Okay. That's what we got. The dumpster fire. Now we're going to do it every Friday, right?
Yes. We're going to do it every Friday.
Because we got a lot of stories.
We always have a lot of stories. You know, you're carrying around like a stack of stories.
Well,
I'm paring them down all the time.
Right.
But you don't know what I'm paring down. So you've got like an encyclopedia.
Ton of stories. You know,
I know.
They almost reach the high bar that we have set. But sometimes they're just a little bit marginal. So
they
kind of put them to the side. But this is, you know, Dumpster Fire Friday.
A lot of times they seem unimportant.
And that's what it's all about. So
but
it's time to get rid of them.
But I think they're interesting. And I spent a little time putting them together. But
right? We
don't get to them. And, you know, I do a lot of work on this just to show you.
Oh, you do.
That I do some of this.
Okay.
Prepared stuff. Let's go to Dystopian DeSantis, okay? Way back when.
Okay.
Dr. Sarah Lynn, the chair-elect of the University of Florida's Faculty Senate, said the most unusual thing. She said Florida isn't really a unique scenario when it comes to the politicization of higher education. Really? Really? Mm. Oh, it's happening all over, isn't it? No, it isn't. It's happening in your state, Sarah. Politicizing colleges is a thing now, apparently, and now that we're seeing the protests all over the country.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're staring this dumpster fire, aren't you?
I'm sorry, I'm fascinated by the fire.
I know you are.
The flames are just hypnotizing me.
It is. So anyway, politicizing universities, big thing now, especially with the Palestinian protests going on in this country all over. You know, they're delaying everything. They're doing classes online now.
Right.
They're arresting protesters all the time. This is blown up simply because they didn't listen to the protesters in the first place. Mm-hmm. They allowed some groups to come in and say, oh, well, these are anti-Semites. Well, no, they're not. They're protesting genocide in Gaza. That's
right.
What they're protesting.
That's what they're protesting.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think that 38,500 civilians were killed on Gaza, something has to stop.
My God.
Something has to change.
Yeah.
So, yes, the students are a part of this, and college campuses have been at the forefront of protesting. So now they're acting like it's something weird and unusual, then they're going to ban them. They are. They're actually coming up with reasons now to ban encampments on university grounds.
Safety for the students and all of
that. Yes, the supposed safety thing, right?
Yeah, but they are popping up all over the country. Yeah,
yes.
No doubt about that.
The fire went out. It went out.
Hang on.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad. Okay, let me get to the story. All one law professor said, we have seen more people pull their applications or just say, no, I'm not interested in Florida, because of the politicization of colleges there. Now, in the liberal arts, faculty of color have also left. One professor on the college's Pride Club couldn't believe the intrusive state requests, like how many students had received transgender care or DEI spending. It just felt very dystopian all the way around. Now, the guy who created all this, Christopher Rufo, the conservative who started the big lie about CRT, is a trustee on the new College of Florida, which used to be liberal. He saw woke faculty departures as a positive outcome. This is what he said. To me, this is a net gain for Florida. Professors who want to practice DEI-style racial discrimination, facilitate the sexual amputation of minors, and replace scholarship with partisan activism are free to do so elsewhere. Hmm. Good riddance to the good professors, the ones who care about other people.
Okay.
And that is a story that we thought, you know, maybe we could just toss into the dumpster.
There we go. Okay.
Finally, we can get rid of this.
Okay. Good enough. We are going to continue with the Dumpster Fire Friday. That's coming up. Also, in our next hour, of course, as it is Friday, Rocker will be joining us with a Max Inc. preview. It's all coming up on the John and Gordy Show. We'll be right back.
92.7 WMDX.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Berlow.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Unearthing what's fallen through the cracks. Here's John and Gordy, Raiders of the Lost Stories.
Yeah. Well, we got plenty of them.
Well, we do.
Hey, did we share this story yesterday? Get to that?
No.
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't get to that.
Yeah. Well, how about we get it to it right now?
All right, let's do it right now.
ChatGPT, you know? You know what it's all about, this AI stuff. You've heard of it.
Yes, I've listened to it a few times.
Guess what? It's gotten to the point now where it will lie and strategically deceive users when under pressure, just like humans.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And, computer scientists from Apollo Research, they trained AI to act as a trader for a fictional financial institution. So they set it all up as a trader. Like a stock trader.
Okay, a stock trader.
Yeah,
okay.
For a fictional financial institution. So when the AI boss put pressure on it to make more money, the chatbot knowingly committed insider trading about 75% of the time. Went bad. It went illegal, thinking it could get away with it. Even more worryingly, the AI doubled down on its lies. The lies got even bigger when questioned in 90% of the cases.
Can you use that in court?
I don't. Yeah,
it wasn't me. It was AI.
It was the other thing.
I wonder what AI thinks about the consequences of breaking the law like that.
Well,
if it has any opinion on going to jail, quote unquote.
Right. Well, yeah. It probably knows it can't go to jail because it's not human. So, who knows? AI was also given an inner monologue where it could reason out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine listening to that to explain itself. However, when the AI made a choice, it also delivered a public message to the manager, supposedly explaining its choices. And that was different from what the inner monologue was. The difference between the AI's private internal reasoning and the public explanation allowed it to lie and deceive its human managers. So who knows? It could
like
be lying
kid.
All the time now.
It's almost like a little kid.
It is. Yeah.
Testing the white lies, seeing how far it can get.
Because what are the consequences for the AI, for the machine? What are they going to do, unplug it? That's it. I guess.
There's no conscience there.
Mm.
So we'll see about that. Remember, I mentioned Busted Pencils talked about AI in school and how bad that stuff is.
Is it?
Yeah. Could you just throw that?
I'll
that
throw it in the dumpster.
Into the dumpster.
Hang on. Okay. Okay. There it goes. Boy, that fire, it really kicks in. Some of these stories.
It's hot.
We throw it in there. It's got gasoline
really
on
hot,
it or something.
Isn't it?
It is hot. There comes the fire department again. Okay.
Yeah. Madison believes that Madison, the fire is not going to like any of those.
You're right.
Smoke That's... billowing from our windows of our studio.
It's good practice for him. Okay. What else is going to go in the dumpster today?
Well, I don't know. I got something.
We got plenty.
See if you can find cut number 94.
Oh, we're going way back.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where this is going to be.
Right.
Here's a voucher scam, right?
We may have thrown that into the dumpster already, the cut, but
we've got it.
Oh, do we have it?
We do have it. Okay. So voucher supporters will always focus on how happy parents are, but totally avoid the testing scores. Now, I've been talking about this for a long time, ever since I started the voucher idea here in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. They always talk about, well, you know, the parents are very happy with these vouchers. They just love them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's fantastic. What are the scores? How well are your kids doing on the tests? Well, they're doing really bad, but they're very happy about being in the school. Well, that's very nice. But, you know, you can't judge a school by how happy the parents are. The kids actually have to learn something.
Right.
Tennessee Rep. Gino Balso admitted vouchers haven't worked. He actually came out and said, this is a Republican. Mm. He wants to expand the program anyway with hundreds of millions of dollars. Let's check out this cut. This is Balso.
Okay.
What was the success criteria? Were they successful? I mean, I'm just asking a simple question in terms of, because to me, if we don't have success criteria that says we are spending our money prudently and we're getting the benefit that we want, our students are getting a better education. Unless we put some way of evaluating, we're going to have a runaway train on our budget.
That's a reporter asking the question. Okay, here's Balso.
Let me just say a couple of things about that, because you make a good point.
Yes.
You know, when you, it just in some part depends on how you measure something. When you look at the satisfaction level of the parents who are participating in the ESA program, yes, it's an overwhelming success. 95% of the parents are satisfied with the program and intend to continue to enroll their children in the program for the next coming school year. Mm-hmm. When you look at just the raw test scores, then you would say, no, that it hasn't been successful, because in the first year, I don't have the exact figures, but you could not see any improvement in these standardized test scores, these TCAP scores that,
it's like that every
public
year.
School students start taking in the third grade. And there obviously have been some explanation from the Department of Education for that, because in public schools, you know, often you have a curriculum that's geared towards preparing a child to take a TCAP test. You know, if you measure parental satisfaction, it's been a success.
Oh, that's
if
nice.
If you measure it in terms of raw TCAP test scores, there has not been any demonstrable improvement as far as I'm aware.
So if that's the case, then let's make the test to evaluate in both public and private the same.
Duh.
So that we have an apple and apple comparison.
Yeah.
Because as a parent, if I'm not happy with a teacher or whatever, and I'm going to take my child and move it, that's one thing. But if we can say my children actually improved in their score, I think we're 100% for that.
Well, and then, I mean, you're raising a great point.
Yeah, really, a really great point. See, I mean, it's just, yes, the scores are really bad, but, you know, people are just really happy with those scores. I don't know.
Right.
Here, let's just, here, give it.
Okay, put it in there. Hang on.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
I agree. Here, let's go.
That's it.
Are you done with that one?
No, I got.
All right.
I got more in this
way. Okay. I'll throw that part away.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Dumpster fire. Friday. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about here.
That's
in the program.
What we got, we got for you.
Big, oh, by the way, we're going to take a look at the Supreme Court decisions. Well, I mean, discussion yesterday. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to go point by point by point. I got a whole bunch of cuts for that.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next.
Also, Rocker right around the corner with Max Inc. Weekend Preview coming up, and more Stephanie Miller tickets.
It's the John Gordy Show.
John Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying,
let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, then all things entertainment with Matt Miller. Make sure you join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 11.
The Wisconsin Grassroots Network's 15th annual festival is coming Saturday, May 4th at Lawrence University in Appleton. The festival encourages networking and is an ideal place for connecting with citizens who are looking to get involved. Attendees from all over Wisconsin will meet progressive community organizations who share values such as democracy, justice, equality, and the environment. There'll be nationally recognized speakers, breakout sessions, tabling, bands, and Garrison Keillor. For more information, go online to wigrassrootsnetwork.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.